Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet tonight. We thank you that we've arrived here safely, and we pray that the hour will be beneficial for these that have come. And we pray that this information will be meaningful in the daily lives of each of these young people. In Christ's name, amen. Well, we've had 11 categories in the angelic conflict so far. And how many have all your notes with you tonight on the angelic? How many do not have all your notes with you on the angelic conflict? There's a few that don't. You don't have all of them. You have 11 categories from point 8 on. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to be finishing the angelic conflict pretty soon. And when we're done, I'm going to give you a quiz. Huh? I'm going to give you a quiz and on the angelic conflict. So tonight, I kind of figured that, you know, some of the weaker ones wouldn't show up. So I made up some questions that'll help us review. And I'm going to, in order that you don't get shocked with the question. See, if I ask you a direct question, it might throw you into shock. So I'm going to put the questions on the board three at a time, and then we can be thinking through them. And if you want to put the question down, skip a few lines. This is review now of the angelic conflict so far, which is up to 11, through 11 categories. Through 11 categories. Right? Right. Number one question. This is a statement, and you answer what is true and false. Now, the way you... A true and false test is the easiest test there is. But the way you make a true and false test a hard test is that if a statement is false, then you have to correct it. And you do not correct a false statement by making it positive, for instance. Or by making a negative statement, like the dog is green. You don't correct that by saying, false, the dog is not green. You correct it by giving the positive, correct information. False, the dog is purple. See? So, okay, get it? Okay, so here is the first statement. You can write these down now as a review, and then... try to think through the answer. Don't put the answer down yet. There is only one type. Now, no vocal responses, please, until we call upon you. There is only one type of angel in the Bible. Okay? Point two. God created evil. Point two, God created evil. Point three, Adam was created perfect. Adam was created perfect. Okay, so we have three statements on the board that we want to hack around. And there are there, of course, true or false statements, and we want to try to work out the answers and make sure we understand the correct aspects, whether the statement is correct or the incorrect aspects of it, and then the correct aspects. Okay, everybody ready? Okay, let's start with David Berg. Up front. Number one, there's only one type of angel in the Bible.
That's false.
Okay. Oh, that's correct. That's false. He is right. The answer is that is a false statement. Now, true and false, the weakest test there is, unless you correct the statement. Now, give us the positive information. What types of angels are there in the Bible?
Michael. Michael. It is Michael who is...
What kind of angel is Michael? No, don't look. Don't look. Try to think. Anybody, what kind of angel is Michael? He's an archangel. Now, where does Michael have his main ministry? With what people? Does anybody know? Which nation, though, is he mainly associated with? Israel. He's mainly associated with Israel. That's just parenthetical. Okay, so Michael's an archangel. That only tells us one type. Everybody's at... Okay, cherubim. What are cherubim? You remember the word? Anybody? Can you help? Carol? Okay, they're ones that seem to minister in the very presence of God. Who is associated in that, with cherubim in that ministry? Yeah, guard. They may be the ones. They may be involved even in the guarding. What other word sounds like cherubim? Seraphim. Seraphim angels. Yeah. Cherubim, seraphim. What other kind are they? That's three. In other words, these angels have different, what? Jobs, ministries, responsibilities. Intelligences and beauty. Yes. To whom? All right, to whom? What kind of people? Okay, ministering angels to believers. What verse, you know? Hebrews 1:14. Okay. What other kind of angels are there? Every believer has a ministering angel. Well, that's the same thing, sort of.
There's
angels
that have specific jobs of influencing the way
angels go. Or trying to exert divine viewpoint upon national leaders. What are they called? Mm-hmm. Well, in a sense, yeah, that's the word means teaching, yeah. Tutelary angels. Tutelary angels, yeah. Okay. What other kind of angels? You just mentioned it. Teaching angels. That aren't necessarily involved with national leaders, but are involved with, they taught the law. Well, okay, let's get the answer then. In under category number three, we gave various types. Category number three. We gave about 10 types. 10 types. And you have mentioned tonight about 6 of them. There's another possible answer where we say there's only... Or is there only one type of angel? What are the two general categories of angels? Broad categories. They are either elect or fallen angels. Okay. Which is category number 2. This would be your answer, see? In category number 2, we saw that there were two general classes, right? Two general classes that includes all angels. Elect or fallen. Elect angels would be holy angels. Fallen angels would be demonic spirits. Okay, very good. All right. Let's go to David for number 2. David Carradini. God created evil. True or false?
False.
All right. False. Correct. Give us the proper information. What did God create? Where was the first sin of the universe? That's what was the first sin of the universe. Where was it committed? Let's let him answer. Wait till he's done. Where was it committed? Where was the first sin of negative volition? Heaven. Okay. Who committed it?
Lucifer.
Okay. So then God didn't create evil. Did God create Lucifer?
Yes.
Well, then did God create evil?
No.
What did he create?
He gave him the capacity to plan it.
To what?
To plan it out.
Plan what out? Okay, give him the capacity to think for himself. That's volition. And in the case of himself, he gave him the capacity to be negative or positive. So what God created was, God created Lucifer and angels with the capacity to be positive or negative toward God, right?
Yes.
Now, is that an overt sin?
No.
No, that is a what?
Mental attitude.
Mental attitude, right. A mental attitude, will a mental attitude sin manifest itself overtly?
It can.
Yeah, it usually will, too. It doesn't have to, but it can. It usually will if you don't nip it in the bud. Okay, so God created also, what else with the same capacity? Man. God created man with the capacity to be positive, negative toward God. Okay? Right? Okay, I'm asking you questions. You can feel free to ask me questions along the way. Any questions about that one? That is category number four. Answer. Category number four. Now, if you have all these categories, see, why, all you have to do is look them over when we have our quiz. I know everybody's going to show up that night because that's party night. And when I throw a party, I expect everyone to come. Right? Right. Okay, David, what have we got, three Davids in a row. Is this a true statement or not?
Yes.
You think it's true? Okay. If he was perfect, then why did he fall?
Well, he had volition.
He had volition, but does volition make you perfect? What does perfect mean to you? Who was the only perfect man?
God.
Okay, well, man, though. Who was the only perfect man? Yeah, Jesus Christ was the only perfect man. Adam wasn't perfect then, was he? What was Adam? Nope. Because perfect means you, then you couldn't sin.
Well, I
kind of
mean that
No. Okay, he was created innocent, not perfect. So the answer to this really is false. And then you make the statement positive by saying Adam was created innocent. Now, the proof that he wasn't perfect was that when he was tempted or tested or tried, he fell. If he'd have been perfect, he wouldn't have fallen. Yeah? There's a lot of difference. He was not created perfect. He was created innocent. He was created with the capacity to be positive or negative. But when he was tested, when this volition was tested, he went negative. Now, in a sense, Adam is unique because he really didn't personally go negative, except that he had a choice, you know, Eve in the garden or God outside the garden. And God didn't have a chance, see, because he liked Eve so much. He knew what was happening, in other words. Eve is really the one who went negative, right? Right, she was deceived in the transgression. Adam was not. Okay, the answer to this you'll find in your notes under category number five. The answer is in category number five. Which is, category number five is the doctrine of angelic observation, and it tells what the angels observed in the creation. And they observed Adam created innocent, and then they watched him in his test to see or what would happen, and they saw him fall, right? Right. Okay. Any questions about that? Okay, those are questions 1, 2, and 3. Let's get questions 4, 5, and 6 on the board. And you can write these down if you want. Adam and Eve's first sin was a sex sin. Okay, number 5. Number 5. Man's will was totally sold out. Was totally sold out to Satan in Adam's fall. Okay, and number six. Satan did not consider. Satan did not consider divine essence. Of course, he never considers divine essence because he doesn't believe God. But he did not consider divine essence when he got Adam to fall. When he tempted Adam to fall. Okay, repeating. Satan did not consider divine essence when he tempted Adam to fall. But the fall gave God opportunity, but the fall gave God opportunity to manifest himself more fully. Now, the question, particularly in what aspect, or particularly what aspect of his essence? Aspect or aspects of his essence. Okay, repeating the whole sixth question. Satan did not consider divine essence when he tempted Adam to fall, but the fall gave God opportunity to manifest himself more fully, particularly what aspects of his essence. Okay, there's 3 more questions. Let's deal with the fourth one first. Adam and Eve's first sin was a sex sin. Laura? False, okay, false. What was Adam and Eve's first sin? Which we call what? Okay, was disobedience to God or negative volition? Negative volition to God's will, which is another just another form of disobedience. Well, why were they negative to God's will? It wasn't just because they had volition, but what made them go positive to negative volition? Let's see if she can answer. What made them go positive to negative volition? Why did they positively assert negative volition? You know, they could have positively asserted positive volition. But they positively asserted negative volition. Why? No, let's let her. What happened in the fall? Satan tempted who first? Eve. Now, what did he say to her? Now, why did she swallow that line? Why did she swallow that line? Why did she go positive to that information? Well,
because Peggy? God created them with a sense of reason, and God had told them not to eat of that tree, therefore she reasoned that if she ate of that tree, God was trying to keep something away, kind of.
Was that rational? You're implying that that was rational.
She let her pride get in her way.
She was a female.
She wanted to be like God.
You'll never make it if you say that. What you said in the latter part, Peggy, is the answer to the question. She, by swallowing that line, it indicated that she thought that God was holding back something from her. See? She really wasn't positive to God's love. And she thought that Satan comes along and says, hey, God's holding something back from you. If you really partake of that tree, you'll be like God, right? Isn't that what he said? And she believed it. So she went positive to negative volition. She went positive to wrong information. Okay. The reason she went negative was that she chose to believe Satan's lie, because she thought it would bring something to her that God was holding back from her, which meant that she really didn't understand God, right?
But she was almost doing the same negative volition that Satan did, because
if she ate of the tree, it would give her. That's right. That's right. Satan wanted to be like God too. Yeah, that's right. In essence, they're very similar. Now, the thing with Adam was it was a little different. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're told that Adam was not deceived in the transgression. He just loved Eve, and if she was outside the garden and she had lost her spiritual life, he wanted to be with her. And he partook in the sort of knowing it. And that then becomes a sort of a type of Christ who took our sin upon himself knowingly, that we might be his bride, the church might be his bride. See, very similar.
He also put it as an illustration of love too.
Yeah.
Because he laid down his life.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Exactly. And just like Christ laid down his life for us. Okay. Point five. Question five. Any questions about anything we've said there on the fourth one? Okay, point five in the review. Man's will was totally sold out to Satan in Adam's fall. True or false? Dana? Okay, she said she doesn't understand the question. When Adam fell, he died spiritually, and that spiritual death is passed on to us, to all members of the human race. They are born spiritually dead. That's why Jesus said you had to be born again. Now, does that mean then, are you listening? Does that mean then that man's will is totally sold out to Satan? That he will totally do everything Satan wants him to do? Okay, the answer is false. You gave the answer right. The answer is false. Man's will is not totally sold out to Satan. Now, how do you correct that in statement then? What is man's will like? Let's see if Dana can answer it first. What does control man's will? Okay, that's a good answer. But that in another sense, volition is another word for will. Okay, what are the great wills? What is the strongest will in all of the universe? God's will, okay. So in the universe, then, the highest will is God's will, right? Okay, what's the second highest will in the universe, most powerful will? See if Dana can answer this. Is there any will that's stronger than man's will? Is there any being in the universe that is stronger and more intelligent than man? Beings that are more intelligent than man? Satan. Okay, angels. Angels are more intelligent being than men are. And they're a higher form of being. They have more power. So the second strongest will is going to be the greatest angel, Satan. He was the greatest angel as Lucifer, but then he fell and he became Satan. So both of these wills are stronger than man's will, right? Okay, so the third factor then is man's will. Now, we ask the question, is man totally under this influence? And you said, no, he's not. So then there has to be this influence on man, right? Is that right? Sometimes man does do God's will, doesn't he? Volitionally. Sometimes he does Satan's will volitionally. Is there any other influence upon man? His own will, but what influences his will? Human viewpoint, but what within him, his nature influences it? His sin nature. In other words, every man has a sin nature. Right? You're born with it. Now that sin nature affects your volition. Right? And we say you are either under the control of your sin nature, which is not the same as saying you are under the complete domination of Satan. Your sin nature is chaotic. So the answer, the positive answer to this thing is, man's will is chaotic. It sometimes follows God's will. It sometimes follows Satan's will. It sometimes follows man's own will. Right? Sure. Sometimes you just do your own stubborn will. Wouldn't matter if Satan was even around, you would do. Maybe exercise some negative volition. See? Or sometimes positive volition. Okay, see, that's what I'm trying to get. Okay, the sixth question then. Okay, the answer to that was category number six. The answer to number five is found under category number six. And in category number six, we deal with three great wills in the universe. See, if men were totally sold out to Satan, then Satan would have the cosmos all organized under himself, wouldn't he? That's what he wants, a world, a cosmos that's all his own. If they were under his complete domination, then he would have that, but you don't see that in history. Okay, was there a question? The answer to number four, again, is category number five. The answer is found in category number five. While we're on point five, man's will was not totally sold out to Satan. Okay, if his sin nature then affects his will, then the sin nature could run rampant, right? Now, what divine institutions then were given to society to keep the sin nature under check? Okay, what divine institutions? Marriage? Family? Nations? Okay, which means government? Okay, now what are those all shot through with then? Volition? Three things. Morality, volition, morality, and authority. See? Marriage protects morality. See? Marriage protects morality among a nation. In marriage, you have authority. In marriage, you have volition. You choose whom you're going to marry and so on. See? Those were divine institutions given by God to even sinful men, unsaved men, for the protection and the perpetuation of society. Now, when a society, the majority of society, begins to run rampant with the sin nature, then God will wipe that society off the map. He can't let it survive. Yeah? Whenever the sex movies, 7, 8, 9 years ago, sex movies had about that much advertising in the paper. Now sex movies have a whole page or 2 pages in the newspaper. And whenever the sex movies take over the whole thing, then that's indicative, that's a sign that your society has really gone to pot. I mean, going to sex pot. Is that back in?
I heard it was back in a couple of weeks.
I don't know. Well, they've had trouble banning it. When they went to confiscate it, the district attorney went to confiscate it. They didn't show it. They must have got word that he was coming, and so they never did get
back in town because it was all over the radio.
Well, they've had a terrible time getting one of these cases through court. Because they all claim the First Amendment. And the problem has not been our district attorneys. We've had some real good district attorneys. Seacom, and then McKevitt, Mike McKevitt. Every one of those guys has taken one of those things to court, but they never win their case. The judge always throws it out. Okay. Let's go on to point six. Point six is a harder question. Satan did not consider divine essence in Adam's fall. In other words, he did not take God's essence into consideration. He never does because he's not a believer. But the fall gives God opportunity to manifest himself more fully, particularly what aspects of God's essence? Yeah? It's not a true or false question. It's true, yeah. Satan did not consider divine essence in Adam's fall. In other words, he did not take God's essence into consideration. He never does because he's not a believer. But the fall gives God opportunity to manifest himself more fully, particularly what aspects of God's essence? Yeah? It's not a true or false question. It's true, yeah. Okay, that's true. All right. Okay, is grace? Okay, good. She's saying now, what aspects of his essence? His grace? Good. What proves that he didn't consider grace? What proves it? Okay, let's think about that for a while. What else didn't he consider? Love, okay, which is a part of his grace. Did we have to be goody-goodies before God would love us? No, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. So that's a manifestation of grace. Grace, love, okay. That's the main ones. Now, what proves that? Peggy?
Well, I add a whole bunch more to that. Like justice?
Justice?
And sovereignty?
Okay, you could say that. Truth? Okay. Now, what proves it, though, that Satan didn't, consider it? What was his idea?
Satan stated the fact that surely God would have them die because he created them, and he doubted.
But did they die?
Yes.
Okay, they did die. Now, what proves then that grace and love was operative? What happened immediately after the fall? Who acted first? Did man act toward God or God act toward man?
God acted toward man.
God acted toward man. And how did that manifest itself? Chip?
Well, until like kill him and that'd be the end of them, he gave them a second chance to let
them try to. They died spiritually, but they did not die physically. And then the real manifestation is that instead of God waiting for man to act toward him, which man never would have done in that blind state, God acted toward man. He came to Adam in the garden in the cool of the day, just like he always did. What did man do? He hid. Did God say, oh, you're hiding from me, okay, if you want to play that, be that way, then I'll leave. No, he didn't do that. He came to him and he revealed to him his justice by telling him the penalty for sin, but then he proved his love by providing him the answer for sin. He gave him the institution of sacrificial approach to God, which pointed toward the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Okay. Okay, any questions about that? Up until that time, what could Adam know about the essence of God? He could know what would he know about the essence of God up to that time? He knows. Chip? Okay, grace in that sense, but that's general grace. That's not specific like Christ. Not up to that time, he wouldn't have known saving grace. He had to fall before he'd know saving grace. Up until the time of the fall, before the fall, what could he know about God?
He was just.
How would he know that? Okay, he could know that he was supreme. What did that include?
Well, he had love.
Yeah, but it was general love. It was only general.
Yeah.
It's like Chip said, it's kind of, you know, God provided a world in which food grew and so on.
Sovereignty. He
knew his sovereignty is supremeness because he was over all beings. Well, he would know his omnipotence. I don't know how much he knew about the plus R, but he certainly knew the omnipotence because God was a creator of all things. What else?
He could know that God was immutable.
Okay, he could know that God's unchangeableness. He also could know God's omniscience in God's intelligence in as a designer of the universe.
What about veracity?
Well, I think he could know some of that too because of the universe, the way it was created, the sustaining aspects of the universe, that God was true.
Was the earth created before Satan fell after?
In my opinion, everything was created in 6 days.
That includes Satan.
Yes. Yes, in my opinion, yeah. I don't know that he was all alone so long. Who was all alone? There's a teaching like that, but I don't subscribe to that. The reason I don't is because in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1 it says that in 6 days God made the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them, all the hosts of heaven and all the hosts of earth. And in Exodus 19 and verse 21 it says, in 6 days God made the heavens and the earth and all that in them is. Now after the 6 days, from the sixth day until the fall, we don't know how long a period that was. I don't think it was too long. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. In other words, the ones that went negative are locked in negative, and the ones that went positive are locked in positive, and they all did it at once. It was in a great uprising in heaven, and Satan was the leader of it, and it all happened at once, and then they were locked in. And all the angels were created at once. There aren't angels coming into being now. They were all created at once. They all faced the test. My opinion, the test related to the glorification of God, particularly in the sense of the Son. And they rejected that. Satan wanted to be higher than him, and he led the rebellion, and then they all fell, and they were one third of them fell.
Well, then maybe they didn't have their volition for as long as they were around, you know, because, well, Satan maybe just got big fans or something.
Well, they had volition up until the point of their fall, and then they were locked in whatever volition they were then. Okay, we've got to hurry. I have 5 more questions. Let me see if we can get through them. We want everybody to get a chance. Okay, we got through 6. And we're ready for 7, 8, and 9. Point 7. Who were the, we could say were and are, who were and are the 2 chief combatants? Who were and are the 2 chief combatants in the angelic conflict? Okay, and did they ever meet face to face? Did they meet face to face? Okay, Carol, I guess that's your question. Question number 7. Okay, God in what form? God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, or God the Son? Oh, it has to be God the Son. Okay, the 2 chief combatants are 1, God the Son, and 2, Satan. Okay, now did these 2 chief combatants ever meet face to face? Okay, answer yes. When? Okay, you know what chapter in the Bible? Anybody?
Matthew 4.
Okay. Now, the key to this is Satan was an angel, right? Satan as an angel, and the Son is what? Pardon? What? As a man, yes. Satan as an angel, the Son as a man. Lower than the angel. See? This is the key to understanding this. Though he was the Son, he became a man, and that means that he emptied himself of his rights, his prerogatives of deity. See? And so, all the battle that he's going to win, he wins how? By depending on himself? Through the Holy Spirit, right. He subjects his total volition to the Holy Spirit. See, the Son as a man meets Satan as an angel, but he does it in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Right. And he wins. He is the winner. Right. What was his other fortification? Pardon? Promises of God or the Word of God. Right, right. He quotes Deuteronomy every time in those temptations. All right, question number 8. What is worldliness? What is worldliness? Chip, are you here for that? Huh? Having human viewpoint? Huh? Cosmos thinking, okay. Worldliness is cosmos thinking, but what does that mean in the nitty-gritty of life? Okay, you put more stock in it. Consequently, you look to it for what? For strength or approval. You look to people with human viewpoint. You look to people that you know have human viewpoint. You look to them for your approval. See? You look to their ideas for approval. That's worldliness. In other words, the style is a new fedora, a new hat of some kind. And if you don't have one, you're not living. So you just got to get one. If you don't get one, you're all upset. In fact, nobody can live with you. Your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, you just can't live with you. That means that you are following cosmos thinking. It ought not to be that way, see. It isn't that important, see? That's the idea. Okay, worldliness is not necessarily... In other words, worldliness is a mental attitude, right? It's a mental attitude. It means you look to people who have human viewpoint, and that's all they have. You look to them for approval. Yeah. No, nobody did then very much either. but he was unique. Jesus didn't. No, the point is, no, what you're saying is true. It isn't that you act freaky. You know, I mean, I wear clothes that I feel are attractive. I'm not going to wear something that I feel makes me look dopey. Whether you think I do or not is not important. But anyhow, I try to look as nice as I can. It isn't because I want somebody with cosmos thinking to approve of me, though. And if I don't have the means to have a certain something or another, I'm not going to fall apart because of it. That's the thing. Yes?
So, is it right to have a certain
amount of pride in yourself? Yes. Yeah, if you don't like yourself, you know, the Bible says, that no man at any time has hated his own body. That's not the statement I'm trying to think of. Love others, this is the first and greatest of all commandments, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul. And love thy neighbor as thyself, meaning you love yourself. You have a good self-image. There's nothing wrong with that. That's true. But if you adjust your life in the sense of approbation, approval, you are trying to meet somebody who is totally a cosmos thinker, and you are seeking their approval. You adjust your habits in your life, your dress, your style, your recreation, and so on, just to get their approval. That's worldliness. See what I'm saying? There's a difference in that and having a certain amount of liking yourself, of a good self-image. Yes, you should have a good self-image, which means you like yourself. You're satisfied with yourself. Yes, Skip.
Well, I don't get where you draw the line with or like him. Like, you might like the same style as somebody else does. And
well, you might feel that a certain style is attractive, you like it, and you identify with it. That's not the point. The point is, are you doing this to get somebody who is totally a cosmos thinker to get their approval? That's the point. So you can be accepted by that group, or by that person who thinks that way, or by a certain attitude that's current. See what I'm saying? Okay. How can I illustrate it? Approbation lust is one of the most subtle sins that there is. Approbation lust is the inordinate desire to be approved by others. So you bend over backwards for approval. You may even go along with their thoughts when you don't believe what they're saying. See?
Well, is it wrong to be, want people to like you?
No. I think if everybody's honest, you want people to like you, but you set limits on what you will do to get them to like you. That's what's right. That you have to say what's right in the matter. And the thing that is right is you set limits on what you will do to get people to like you. And you have to learn, and this is part of your character. See, this is part of building iron in your soul. You have to set your focus on divine viewpoint and then not move from it. Because moving from it then means weakness of character. In other words, you're doing something you shouldn't do in order to get somebody to like you. You are then practicing approbation, lost sins, and they need to be confessed. See? You need to reject that kind of thing. Yes?
So whenever you do something wrong so that they'll like you,
yeah.
That's
that's right. And it's that doing something wrong springs from a previous mental attitude sin. In other words, you started sinning back here in your mental attitude. And then it ended up doing something. The sin that was in the mental attitude was approbation lust. Mental attitude sin. And then it manifested it some way, see?
So you mean it's all right if you do something.
No. No, that's not wrong, because you are commanded to be obedient to your parents, see? You have a script. Well, there is a higher motivation than that. There can be a little higher motivation, and I think analyzing motivation is a real good exercise for a guy. You can get overly subjective, but I think sometimes we ought to analyze why did I really do that, and then seek for higher motivation. It don't always have to be the low motivation. I would say that would not be too high of a motivation, but you have to be the judge of what's motivating you. And it's,
you can do something that you don't like, please other people, and it's not sin, but if you do something that's wrong, please other people, then it is sin.
I think you'd have to say what it was you did. Yeah, wrong. You qualified it. I don't know if you can answer that with a yes or no, but it sounds like what you're saying is probably true. It sounds like it, but it may need a little bit of analyzing. I'm not sure. But it sounds like it's true. As long as it's not wrong. The question is, why always? Why do you seek to please? See, the motivation is a great concern to God. No, no. That's love does that.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's
Love does that. Love seeks to please. Yes. And that's not wrong. Now, love can seek to please in the wrong way and get out of line. So, again, good analyzation. Very good. Boy. Number nine. What are Satan's goals? What are Satan's goals? Well, let's see. Let's get back here. Chipper, what are Satan's goals? Did you? Okay, Peg. I'm sorry. We don't want to give him two chances. Okay, control the cosmos. Control of the cosmos. In what sense does he want to control it? Shh, I want her to answer. Does he want to have somebody like Hitler control it, or in what sense does he want to control it?
Well, he's in direct conflict with God, and he's trying to prove that he is
They want everybody to recognize him as
God.
Okay, so he wants, that's one of his goals. He wants to be looked upon as God. Which means he wants to be worshipped, right? Whatever worship means, he wants it. Worship means focal point of our existence. Okay, control of cosmos. We could say also to be like God, doesn't he? He wants to be in control like God. Okay. He wants to have a cosmos. He wants a cosmos under his control is the idea. Okay? Well, I don't want to keep you any longer. It's almost 8:30 and I have three more questions. Maybe we'll get to have some more review, and I'll mark this right there in case we do. Now, I want you to be anticipating, I thought we'd have tonight and then next week, and we'd wrap up the angelic conflict, but I don't know. It's going to take 2 weeks, and then I'm going to be gone 1 week over the holidays. So maybe very early in January we'll finish, or maybe even before Christmas. I'm going to give you a quiz, and I want you to look over all your categories. And I'll let you know when it's going to be so you can plan on being here at the party. I know you'll enjoy it. Okay, I hope this is profitable to you, and I'm sure it will be in the days ahead. Shall we thank the Lord for the time? Father, thank you for this time together with these young people, and we pray a great blessing upon their lives as they interact with the truth of the material that we have, and we covet a positive response toward it in Christ's name. Amen.